All right, so yesterday we were talking about the young boy out in California, Christian Haupt. Christian is a remarkable baseball player for his age, at the age of 8 currently right now. But it all started when he was a little bitty boy and became obsessed with playing baseball, to the point of it probably being weird for his mom and dad and everybody else involved. Like, what is going on? Why do you keep playing baseball so much? 5, 6, 7 hours a day. It's all he ever did. And
it's all he wanted to do.
Yeah. Didn't want to play with toys or anything else. Just wanted to play baseball. And through it all, he became kind of a known figure out there in Southern California. The Dodgers caught wind of who he was. They had him come out there and throw the first pitch. And there he was at 3, chunking out the first pitch on the rubber and wearing his full Dodgers outfit. And that's the only outfit that he would ever wear. And slowly but surely, the mother started finding out some strange things about young Christian. That being that at a very young age, too, about the age that you really start talking and forming sentences, that he was connected to a past life. And we told the story yesterday, and now we are lucky enough to visit with the author of the book and the mother of young Christian. That would be Kathy Bird. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
So where's the day finding you today? Are you at home in Los Angeles?
I'm at home in Los Angeles.
Excellent. This is a very, very interesting story on so many levels. It's not even funny. I mean, I'm a big baseball guy and everything, so naturally, I gravitate to that. But, I mean, you must have known fairly quickly that you had a pretty precocious kid on your hands. For him to be that focused on one thing at that age.
Yeah, it was definitely very exhausting at the time.
You know, once he started talking, and I'll let you set it up. Because, by the way, the book comes out later on this month. It's called The Boy Who Knew Too Much. And once Christian started talking to you, how long did it take before you bought in completely?
You know, I was correcting him because in the beginning he would say to us, "Mommy, I was a tall baseball player." And I would say, "Oh, yeah, you'll be a tall baseball player sometime," you know, like we do as parents. And it wasn't until he got really, really frustrated with me one day and said, "No, I was a tall baseball player, tall like Daddy." And he was very animated, and he really kind of caught my attention. And that's when I kind of started to just listen or pretend to believe him, let's say, in the beginning. I just kind of went along with it.
And so tell the story of when you guys were at Yankee Stadium, and this is probably really when the first big light bulb came on for you guys.
Yeah, so it was really ironic how we ended up. We were actually at Fenway Park.
Oh, okay,
and the way we ended up there was I had posted a video on YouTube, the first time ever I posted a video on YouTube, and Adam Sandler happened to be looking for a little baseball kid for a movie role, and so they flew us to Boston without even meeting Christian, and then he actually ended up appearing in this movie, That's My Boy, and while we were there, the Yankees happened to be in town, and I was able to take Christian to a game there. And it was at the time he was 2 years old when he was in the movie, and he'd never watched television, and he'd only been to 2 professional baseball games before that day. And when we were in the stadium, he saw this giant picture of Babe Ruth and got so upset. I mean, at this point, I it didn't really strike me as anything too odd, but he said, "I don't like him. He was mean to me," and got really, really emotional about this picture of Babe Ruth to the point where we actually had to leave the stadium because he was so upset. But later that became a clue because as he kept insisting that he used to be a tall baseball player. And then one day we were in an elevator a couple months later and he said, "Mommy, this elevator kind of looks like a hotel." And I said, "Yeah, it kind of does." And he said, "When I was a tall baseball player, when I was tall like Daddy, I used to stay in hotels almost every night." And so he got my attention with that one because, you know, that was something that he probably doesn't even know now at 8 years old that baseball players stay in hotels, right?
There's
no way he could have known that. And then I would kind of go along with it even though I was still skeptical. I'd say, "Oh, did you fly on airplanes?" And he said, "No, mostly trains." Like he would come out with these answers and he'd never been on a train, never played with trains because all he did was play baseball. So as I would like put two and two together and I started researching the things he'd tell us, you know, I would Google like Babe Ruth travel on trains, and sure enough, Babe Ruth traveled on trains. And I just started to put the pieces of the puzzle together and kind of start to believe him, even though it was against my own Christian faith to believe in reincarnation.
God, it must have been pretty overwhelming, the whole thing, because on one front, you really want to believe your kid, or you, maybe you don't. Maybe that's the whole thing. And but it's got to be one of those, like, if this gets out, we're going to be labeled as the Looney family.
Exactly, which is why we didn't really share it with too many people. You know, I did go to my pastor at one point to kind of get his take on it, and he insinuated that he could be possessed by the spirit of a dead person, and that scared me to death, so I kind of tried to abandon that idea.
So at what point did you start moving forward with the idea that this could be some sort of connection to Lou Gehrig?
Well, you know what happened is I started to research on the internet, that we all do these days, and I found some people that are experts in this field of children who recall past lives. And the first person I came across was Carol Bowman, who wrote a book called Children's Past Lives, and she described all these behaviors that were exactly what Christian had been displaying. You know, exactly, it's usually between the ages of 2 to 6 that kids say things about these other lives, and then they forget about it and just go into their present life, right? So this was kind of exactly what Christian was displaying. It was a lot of times the statements would be right before bed. He told us a lot more details about being a baseball player and everything correlated to the 1920s and 30s. And he even told me one night that he had fire in the lights when he was a little kid, that the lights were you know, had candles in them, basically. Mm-hmm. And I would research and find out that time period, that was true. The way that the Lou Gehrig thing came up, because that was ultimately who he claimed to be, was that Carol Bowman told me to show him pictures from Babe Ruth's era. And I showed him a picture of the 1927 Yankees, and I said, "Do you see anybody in this picture who doesn't like Babe Ruth?" and he pointed to Lou Gehrig in more than one photo. And then he said, "That's me." So,
and he didn't point to anybody else in those pictures. He specifically, on multiple times, said, "That's me," about Gehrig.
Right. I showed him a couple, three different team photos, and he said, "That's me." So then I went to Carol, and I said, "What do I do now?" And she said, "Well, show him pictures of Lou Gehrig's family and see if he can identify the names of people." So I did that, and he was able to do that. He didn't come out and say the names, but what she told me to do was give him fictitious names and then give him the actual names, and he was able to identify when the actual names came up, which was really kind of strange. And then when I showed him Lou Gehrig's mother, his first response was, "Mommy, why weren't you there then? I like you better." And then within minutes, he started telling me that I was her. So then it got strange.
All right. Okay, so.
And wasn't there something about the names of the parents of Lou Gehrig that was a big giveaway in this, too?
Oh, what? Heinrich and Henry.
Yeah, the Heinrich and Henry.
Heinrich and Henry, yeah, because I thought I had stumped him, because I said, "Is this Heinrich?" And he said, "No," and that was Lou Gehrig's father's proper name.
Right.
And then I looked in the small print, and it said Henry, so I said, "Is this Henry?" And then he said, "Yes." And I really was careful not to lead him, not to give him clues, because I was the skeptic. I was the one wanting to disprove it, you know?
So we have, you and I, we spoke earlier today, and we were talking about our kids and all that, and our kids are about the same age. And I have to tell you, if this would have happened to me, I would have been overwhelmed. And I'm sure you were the same way. It would have been on the border of being completely freaked out, mainly because, you know, it's so out there and just so strange. And at the same time, though, it's exhilarating. But were you frightened at all by it?
I was frightened. I mean, we did try to ignore it for a while. Like my husband said, just stop talking about it, and then maybe he'll stop talking about it. But he kept bringing it up and kept bringing it up, and it was something obviously on his mind. And so you're right. It was something that we just really wanted it to go away. And eventually, you know, as time went by, around the age of 6, he said, "Oh, it's hard for me to remember now when I was a tall baseball player, because God gave me a new brain now." And he would say, "I want to be a new guy, not an old guy." And he got really into like the current players and being himself. And then it did kind of seem like a distant dream. So it actually was really hard for me to write the book, because it wasn't something that I wanted to dig up again.
This is This is so incredible. Such an incredible story. Such a out there story that, you know, it's, I can only imagine what you must have felt from time to time as these things keep coming up over and over again. And there must have been times when you just went, man, I can't handle this.
There were. And I got pretty, I was on this big quest to figure it out. And I went to Cooperstown to the Hall of Fame Museum, and we were able to get access to all the Lou Gehrig's legal documents and records because Christian became quite close with Tommy Lasorda and the LA Dodgers, and they were able to get us access to these private documents. So I really did go on a quest. I was really the whole time really trying to disprove it as much as prove it. And in the end, there were just so many synchronicities and so many crazy things down to I discovered a family. I was able to locate them through my research at the Hall of Fame Museum that inherited jewelry from Lou Gehrig's mother. And I went to them and said, you know, they've never told anyone they've inherited this jewelry. So I went to them and said, did you inherit this bracelet from Japan from Lou Gehrig's mother that he got for her in Japan and these other things? And they said, you know, yes, we do have those things, but we've never told anyone we have that stuff. And it's been hidden in a safe under our house for the last 60 years. And the funny thing was they said, our kids have no interest in the jewelry because they're Red Sox fans. I thought that was kind of funny.
So how many people in your, maybe not inner circle, but, you know, maybe through Christian school and your daughter's school and parents that you knew in the neighborhood or whatever, friends that you had growing up from college, flat out said, this can't be true, or that you knew were doubting you?
Yeah, I knew people doubted just by their reactions. I had two close girlfriends that, you know, came right out and told me that, you know, come on, he could have learned this stuff anywhere. And one of my friends was, you know, is a very devout Christian. And she said, come on, Kathy, you don't want to be on the wrong side of God. So I carried a lot of guilt. And in the book, I also go into this whole spiritual journey where I look at the history of all religions and find the common themes. And I find scriptures that were, you know, suppressed back in the time of Constantine when the Bible was, you know, constructed and some certain scriptures were taken out that referred to rebirth. And that kind of gave me the freedom as a Christian to say, okay, I'm not going to bear this guilt. Because like in 325 AD, they banished. If you even spoke about reincarnation, you would be in big trouble. And by 385 AD, it was punishable by death. So I think guilt that, like me as a Christian, for example, that I feel around that whole New Age reincarnation thing, it was like so taboo. Once I discovered the history of it, I kind of opened my mind. Well, maybe this is a possibility. And I don't know. Once you read the book, I don't know if you guys have had a chance to see it. I can send it to you. But you'll see that even in the end, I don't necessarily say that it has to be reincarnation. But this information that came from somewhere. And right. It's factual information that was confirmed. And what it really proved to me is that our souls survive this bodily existence and that love never dies, that the love from this lifetime carries on, that we are reunited with our loved ones. There's another part in the story where Dr. Tucker from the University of Virginia comes to our home. Mm-hmm. And they've accumulated 2,500 cases at the University of Virginia Medical School of cases of children who recall past lives. And he came to our house and started asking Christian if he remembered dying, you know, and Christian said, oh, my body just stopped working.
Oh, so he knew that Lou Gehrig had died of and said that his body just quit working?
Well, he said that to Dr. Tucker, but I had never asked him about that. Like, as a mother, you don't want to ask your kid, like, what was it like to die?
you know?
So I was just kind of listening. And then right when Dr. Tucker said that, then Christian came out of the blue and said, well, I picked her to be my mom, and then she got old. And Dr. Tucker said, well, when did you choose her? And he said, when she was born. And he said, where were you? And then Christian said, in the sky. So basically, he said that he chose me to be his mother when I was born.
God.
I was 38 years old when he was born. So I think that's what he meant by then she got old. And then I said, well, what happened in between? Because I kind of wanted to hear about this heavenly part, right? And he said, I don't know. I don't remember that. And then Dr. Tucker said that many of these children that recall past lives actually have very specific memories of choosing their parents. And they have very unspecific memories of what happens in between. They don't recall that time at all.
So today, today, would you describe yourself as being all in on reincarnation and past lives and all this stuff?
You know what? I've come to the conclusion, because what I also did was I talked to all kinds of spiritual leaders. I mean, I even went to James von Prague, and I said, you know, he's like one of these mediums who talks to dead people. And I was like, James, what is this? Like, is it reincarnation? Is it channeling? You know, I want to figure out what it is. And he said, Kathy, it's spirit. And so I think it's like so much bigger than us. I've come to the conclusion that no rabbi, no priest, no medium, no one has the answer, and none of us will know until we die. But it is a story of hope and faith and love, and I'm hoping it's not going to be divisive by the fact that, you know, the reincarnation is kind of a rejected idea by some religions. But it is a majority belief in the world, which is kind of interesting.
Well, Kathy, we appreciate it. The book is The Boy Who Knew Too Much. It comes out March, is it 18th?
March 21st.
March 21st, okay.
Boy, this stuff really makes you think, too. I mean, no matter where you may fall on it, it really does.
It does. I have a really cool, I think you guys saw it, but I just did a movie deal with Fox. They just optioned the rights, and the producer who did the movies, Heaven is for Real, and Miracles from Heaven, is going to be doing the movie, which is really cool. So it will be kind of a Christian faith-based film. But I just did a trailer for my book that I just put on YouTube last night. So if you want to peek at that, you can, I think you can even Google, like, The Boy Who Knew Too Much trailer, or my name, Kathy Bird. And then you'll also see our son has 15 million views on YouTube for all of his little baseball exploits since he was 2 years old. You can have fun with that on the internet. But the book trailer really tells our story pretty well. It's a 2.5-minute video.
Cool. Thank you so much, Kathy. We will we'll talk to you down the road, maybe see you out there at training camp.
I know. We'll be at spring training in a couple weeks. Come to Arizona.
Cool. We'll see you, Kathy.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.